Your hearts today, they're ministering in Southern Africa for 35 years. And they are just doing it. Their sons are wonderful. They're in the ministry. We've had the privilege of having them come on and bless us this morning. Randy greets you. And I am just crazy about this little bucket right here. Scott, you've probably seen this before. This is a life-changing mechanism right here. God bless you as you minister. All right.
Praise God. Yeah.
Good morning. We're delighted to be here today, and we're just in awe of your worship and your friendliness. And, you know, we come from a part of the world where here you normally see people with a bottle of water in their hands or a cup of coffee. Those are the two things. You know, you're either drinking water all day, you're drinking coffee all day. Well, in the parts of Africa where we are ministering, you see the women walking down dusty roads with a bucket on their head. A lot bigger than this one. And people are always asking us, how do we get into this ministry of water? Well, we went to Bible school. I married a man who was passionate to do evangelism, and God led us to do it in Africa. So we were all ready for evangelism, plant churches, see what God, you know, how God will change people's lives. And it started with the very first, the waiter in Zimbabwe, in the hotel we were staying in before we could move into the house we were renting. And we led this young waiter to the Lord. And he was so excited of his new faith. And the first thing he said to Steve was, you have to come to my village. You have to come to my village and tell my village and my people about this Jesus that now lives in my heart. And so we began to prepare to go to this village. And so we had tracts in the car. We had Bibles in the car. We were getting ready to go. And it was about 3 or 4 hours out of the city where we were living in Zimbabwe. And we had a local pastor with us as well. So we turned to this young waiter, you know, and we said, now what else can we bring you? Because we thought, well, maybe they need bread or cookies or candy for the kids. And we turned to the waiter and says, what else can we bring to your village? And he looked at Steve and he said, my people need water. Can we take them water? And we were like, water? How do we do this? You know, we have this Speed the Light vehicle. How do we do this? So Steve had to find a container, a large container, as big as we could fit in our vehicle, and made the trip out to this village, and the waiter jumped out of the car, and he ran over, and they knew we were coming, but he ran over to say, bring your containers, because there's water in the car. And before we could tell them about Jesus, the people came and filled their containers with water from our vehicle. And that began 35 years ago. So here we are, our hair has changed. Our little boys that we took to Africa and one was born there are all grown up and in their 30s and they've got wives and families. And we're still doing this. And I brought this here today because for you parents and grandparents out there, if any of your children ask for money for BGMC, BGMC is paying for every bucket that we hand out. Whenever we drill a well, we hand out buckets to the women. It's like, come to church, you know, not for a donut or coffee. Come to church and get a bucket. And they come. They come for the bucket and they find Jesus. And just now recently, this little thing on the front here is our new filtering system. We're putting filters now on the same buckets and handing them out to places that need to filter their water because they have water, but it's just very dirty. And so we're filtering the water as well. Anyway, we appreciate your faithfulness to us and your prayers. Thank you very much.
Want to give special thanks to Pastor Randy and Pam. And we understand what has hit them is the excitement about grandbabies. Our three boys and beautiful daughter-in-laws have given us 7 grandbabies, and so we understand this dilemma that they're in, And it's wonderful that they could be in with that their children and this precious little one that's come along. So greetings, Pastor Randy, if you're happy to hear this. Thank you so much. I stand in awe. You know, when we first came to this church, first time I ever preached here was about that 35 years ago. And I had brown hair. My wife had her brown hair. And we were in our 20s. And now I've passed the 60 mark. And I'm like a Timex watch. Take a lickin' and keep on ticking. And this is incredibly awesome for us to be back in Trinity to say once again, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, as Glenda has mentioned. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 7. The event is the Feast of Tabernacles that's occurring. And Jesus arrives at this feast a bit under the radar. He, in fact, was not desiring to be seen publicly until he felt it was time. And this feast was like a month-long, or a week-long, 8 days actually, celebration like an 8-day 4th of July. It was to celebrate the time that Israel had been set free from captivity. How many of you in this building today were once in captivity, but you've been set free? And when you do that, you want to celebrate it. And part of that celebration was to commemorate the time that the children of Israel were wandering in the desert and they needed water. I believe that one of the main reasons why God created thirst is to keep us alive. If we weren't thirsty, we wouldn't want to drink. And if we didn't drink water, we wouldn't be alive today. How many of you walked into this building today thirsty? I did. You can see that I'm trying to satisfy it. But you know, there is a thirst that is even more than a physical thirst. It is the thirst for Jesus. He has created in every one of us a thirst to know Him and to walk with Him in truth. Jesus stood up on the last day, verse 37. They called it the greatest day of the feast. And He said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. If anyone is thirsty, Lord, today we stand in awe of you. We thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you that you have created in us a thirst. And Lord, we give you praise today that you are here and you are among us to manifest your presence. I ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind your cross, and that we together as your creation would celebrate your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, come. All are invited to come to Jesus. I'm reminded of the story of this young Bible school student in Tanzania. He had been saved from a Muslim village. He had met his bride at Bible school, just like I did. Hallelujah. And he had now gone back to his village, and the village leadership weren't happy about him coming back with a message of the gospel, but because he was a child of that village, they felt obliged to offer him a plot of ground. And instead of just building a house, he also built a small little church structure out of straw and sticks. And he was saying to his village people, "Come, come, I want to tell you a story." But nobody wanted to come. The piece of ground that they had given him was on the edge of the village. It was basically worthless ground in the eyes of the people. But there was a problem in that village, and that was the lack of water. In fact, there was no water. They had to journey for hours to go and find water from a source that was quite far away. And so even the day that we visited there, the pastor was gone. He had gone to fetch water for his family. His wife had showed us the cistern that was dug in the ground, and in it was water that you wouldn't even want to bathe an animal in. And yet that was all they had. And he had gone to fetch more so that his family would survive. By the grace of God, because of churches just like this one, people gave offerings. Money was paid to a driller, and a drilling rig arrived in that village. And the villagers gathered round to see where they would put the well. The best spot to drill that well was right on the church property. And to make a long story short, today in that village south of Dar es Salaam, people have to come to church to get their drink of water. And what a message of Jesus' love. What a message of his provision. Jesus, as he's standing here in the midst of this feast, he said, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me. Come to me and drink. If you walked in here thirsty, come to Jesus." He was talking about cell phones this morning. I never thought about that bite out of my cell phone. You can understand that these modern devices are the social. They help us do social networking. I mean, we have Facebook. I guess there's Instant something, and there's Twit, and there's other things. Listen now, the social networking site in Africa is the well. That's where you come. That's where you hear the latest rumors. As you're gathered, waiting in line with your buckets, that's where you hear about the latest event in a family or some sort of news that's going on around town. It's the social networking site. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we're able to drill these wells by the grace of God, and to him belongs all the glory, right where people need to come? They can come to church for a drink of water, and they can leave with a well inside of them. Hallelujah! Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me." Hallelujah! "Who believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him." We just flip back a couple pages and you have the story of Jesus coming to a well. Not only does he invite us to come, but he comes. When we come to know Jesus, we can look back and see how he led us, how he came to us at different times until finally we surrender to his love and to his grace and his glory. Well, that Jesus needed to go from Samaria from Judea to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. The disciples thought they were going to go around Samaria, like that's where they built the freeway, you know, the 515 bypass or whatever it was. People didn't want to go through Samaria, but Jesus had an appointment with a woman, a very thirsty woman. He sits down by a well. And it wasn't just an ordinary well. If you look back in the book of Genesis, you'll see that that well had been dug by a prophet, a patriarch named Jacob. He had dug it for his children. He had dug it maybe thinking of his grandchildren. But little did he realize that one day by that same desert spot where God had led him into a difficulty, God had led him into a trial, God had led him into a desert. And so he dug this well, but little did he realize that one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would be passing by that same desert, dry spot, and he would be thirsty. There came a woman in the heat of the day to draw water. Jesus asked for a drink. She says, "You've got nothing to draw it from." And he said, "If you knew the gift of God, you'd know and you'd ask that..." Hallelujah. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you of a drink," he says in verse 10, "you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Living water, the woman says. "Well, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm wondering about this." And she said, "You're not greater than Jacob, are you?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I will provide..." Not just a little bottle of Dasani, but living water within. This woman said, "Sir, give me this water. I'm tired of coming here to draw it." Jesus said, "Go call your husband," and that's another story. See, this woman was quite thirsty. She had 5 husbands, and the one she had at the time was her boyfriend. You know, in South Africa, we have a president that has many wives. And he just decides which one he's going to take on the plane for the next state visit. And, you know, but I've never heard a story before about except I think I heard it in the news yesterday, but about a woman who had many husbands. Jesus reveals himself to her. She goes back into the village. You know, some years ago we tried, in fact it was back in 1998, we tried to, and I say try, we drilled, paid to drill a well on a piece of property that was in a very dry place. And we did not hit water right on the church property. And so we had the driller go back and try another spot. And what he did was he broke into a cavern of water that could have been there hundreds of years. And it was brackish and it was dangerous. And it wasn't good water at all. It was just stagnant water. So then a couple years later, 1998, we tried again. We tried to drill a well. All the while, people had been praying, but that well gave no water. Finally, we had to say, "We just can't get water here." The pastor we worked with, Pastor Alvin, who now was with Jesus, the widow came to me last year, 2014. We were there. We were visiting. And she says, "You know," she said, "every day, every Sunday anyway, that I go to the church property to worship," she said, "I go over to that PVC pipe sticking out of the ground and I take the cap off and I have a stone and I'm ready to drop it in and I hear it thud to the bottom. I've been doing this for some 18 years. But," she said, "Pastor," she said, "lately I'm hearing something in that hole." She said, "When I drop the stone down in the hole, I'm hearing a splash." And she said, "Do you think?" I said, "Well, let's find out." Next time we were back in the main city several hours away, we said to the driller, "I want you to move a pump onto that property, and I want you to see if we indeed have water." This last year has been a tough year. I've had a couple of shoulder surgeries, same shoulder. I guess they had to do it. I had one where they put in the screw, and then I ended up with the screw loose. Of course, Pastor Randy would have known that from the beginning. So they had to do bone stitches, and I had a second surgery. So I wasn't able to go and visit this well, but Glenda went with some other missionaries. And she stopped at that well that we had started in 1998. The pump was on and water is coming. I'm telling you today, don't give up. You might feel dry. You might feel like there's no purpose. You might feel like someone has declared tragedy over your life. But I'm here today to tell you Jesus is still the source of living water. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, come to me and drink. He said, believe so that the streams can flow from within you. And then he said, receive. By this he was speaking about the Spirit. We understand that we can't, you know, walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit is not a luxury. It's not just something we can come and go from. We are living in an hour here in my own home country, right here in America, where we need to understand the power and the presence and the promise and the provision offered to us in His Holy Spirit. John 3 talks about being born of the water and being born of the Spirit. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. We're not talking about a fable. We're not talking about just a story that happened centuries and years before now. But we're talking about life. Life. Hallelujah. I encourage you today, receive His Holy Spirit. Receive His Holy Spirit. But the other challenge and the other opportunity we have is to not only come and drink and believe and receive, but we are to give it away. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus says, sorry for drinking in front of you. No, I'm not. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, a cup of cold water given in my name. That's what we have the privilege of doing. A little over a year ago, there was a friend of missions. He was visiting South Africa. His story goes back. He lives in the East Coast, and he has a plot of ground, and he hired a drilling company to come and drill a water well on his property. They drilled, but they came to him, and they were successful. They got him his water well, but they said, Tim, we there's something else going on here, and we'd like permission to bring in a much bigger drilling rig. It's a little bit complicated, but we will do this at our own expense. But would you allow us to do this? And you know, they have drilling rigs today that not only just drill down, but they can go like a colonoscopy, you know? I mean, it has a camera on the end of it. And it searched and searched. Well, to make a long story short, Tim was able to quit his job. They found natural gas on his property. And he's become a great friend of missions. He travels. He looks like one of those Duck Dynasty people. You know, he's very unassuming. But he loves missions. He loves to build churches. But he has this one other thing. He loves to hunt. Now, I'm not a tree hugger. I do eat meat. But I don't own a gun. I mean, the only thing I've ever shot in Africa was a mouse. It was trembling behind the shower curtain. My son brought me his BB gun, and that ended the life of one mouse. We had a hole in our shower curtain, but that's the only thing I've ever shot. And I said to him, I said, you know, Tim, it's fine what you do, but we've been here some 35 years, and we just can't see our way to try to keep in relationship and travel in even communist countries and yet try to do that with hunting. So maybe you can find somebody else that would take you hunting. So he did. He went into Zimbabwe. He wanted to bag two of the big five. He wanted a water buffalo, and he wanted a leopard. I was kind of sad about that, but Well, he shot his buffalo, but to this day, he's not been able to get the skin or head out of the country because the guy who led him on that safari wasn't registered with the government. Tim wasn't very happy. So then he went after the leopard, and he spotted the leopard up in the tree. He shot it, it fell wounded, and scampered off. He started after it, and that safari guide said, no, wait a minute, it's getting towards sunset, we're not chasing a wounded leopard. We'll pick up the trail in the morning, and they did. They followed the blood trail to the edge of the river. Now, there are people that can look in the dust and tell a story. You know, they can look at footprints and other things we won't talk about, and they can tell a story. And here's the story. The leopard wounded had come to the river's edge. You could see the spot where it had collapsed. But then there was, in the sand, there was the movement of something rather large. It wasn't a snake. Rather large and rotund. And then you see that from the evidence of the sand, this carcass had been dragged into the river by a crocodile. Brother Tim didn't so much as get a paw nail of a trophy. It was gone. Tim was not happy. He's sitting in the passenger seat, riding in the Land Rover, coming out of that experience. I don't want to tell you how many thousands he must have paid. When suddenly, at a dry point in the riverbed, before they reached the tar road, he said to the driver, stop. He jumped out of the Land Rover, and they thought, well, maybe. Maybe that's a leopard. They thought, well, is this the leopard? Has he spotted something? I'm getting scared now. No. He goes over to this dried out riverbed. And in a dried out riverbed, if you dig deep enough, even though it's dry, sometimes there's trickles of water that'll flow in that dried out. And he noticed a hole, and people gathered around the hole. Should I just switch to this? I'll do that. Gathered around the hole, and Tim walked over and he looked down in this deep hole, and there was a child in that hole. And he was handing like coffee cup size water to his mother up on the top of the hole and the other siblings and friends that were gathered around to keep the animals from coming too close to cave in that hole. And she was pouring it in a bucket. He said, what are you doing? They said, well, we're getting our water.
Tim stood there and he broke down. And he said, God, if you had to bring me this far to lose what I've lost in order to see what I'm seeing, then it's worth every penny. He gets back in the Land Rover. He comes across the border. He contacts us. He meets with us. And as he's telling the story, tears are streaming. And Tim says, my wife and I want to bring a well to that village. If that's the reason why I went, then it's worth it all. So I said to him, well, we need to meet with the leadership of the church. We need to see. And there was a young pastor in the nearest city was about 4 hours away. Brother Kinney had been in Glenda's Sunday school class, sitting next to our children in early years. Brother Kinney was now General Secretary of the Assemblies of God, and he says, you know, we've been trying to get a church started in that village, but it's such a demonic stronghold. We haven't been able to get a church started there, but we want a church. Maybe this is the way. So we drove together our next time in Zimbabwe. See, we lost our visas. We can't live there anymore, but we can come and go. Hallelujah for that. So we came in and we went and we met in a school. In the school, there was the village elders, there was the chief, there was the counselor, local political counselor, and the principal of the school. We told them the story. And they said, this is amazing. But we have a request. Not only do we need a well in the village, but we also need a well right here at this school. The well here went dry years ago, and the children have had to cross this busy highway that leads to the Victoria Falls. It hours north, but cars speed down that road, and a child had been killed with a bucket in hand who had gone to fetch water for his classmates across the road. And they said, Would you consider putting a well here as well? So I'm walking back to the vehicle after the meeting with these people. I knew that coming we would raise expectations, and not normally do we go with money in hand, but we were pretty sure of the promise. I thought if Tim can't do it, we'll find the money, but we said yes, and I'm walking, and the chief takes my hand. Now that's the way in Africa. You know, they men, you know, if they want to show a sign of affinity, they'll grab another man's hand and walk with them. Well, I'm from San Francisco, so, you know, it didn't bother me. And we're walking together over to the car, and I remembered a Bible that I had under the seat. It was a nice, study leather Bible still in its wrapping, and I had forgotten I'd even put it there. And I walk over, I open the door to the car, and there's that Bible kind of slid. So I handed it to the chief, and I said, do you have a Bible? He said, no. He said, but I promise you I'll read it. And he said, would you please understand something? Yes, we need these water wells, but we also need the church. Will you come back to our village? And we'll give you land, and you can drill the wells, and we will have a church. I said, hallelujah. To make a long story short, this was drilled in Kalahari sand. It wasn't through bedrock like we normally can do. So there's danger of the wells collapsing. There was a lot of prayer going up. Tim had flown out to be there when the drilling happened. And to make a long story short, today there's a well at the school. There's a well in the village. And then the pastor that's the closest, about an hour away, needed a well. And so today, they have a well as well. And we have two church congregations. All because of what God put in the heart of... How unlikely is that? God works in miraculous ways. I close with this today. Hallelujah. God wants to surprise us with the way that He longs to satisfy us. You walk the streets of the city. Brother, if you come and just come to the keyboard, that'd be great. If you walk the streets of the city, your city, you'll find a lot of thirsty people trying to satisfy, just like that woman who came to the well. She was thirsty. She leaves her water container, and she runs back into the village. And she says, come meet a man who's told me everything I've ever done. He's read my plate. How many of you know Jesus knows your cell phone number? He knows how to get your attention. That whole village comes out. The point is this. Grandma, Grandpa, years ago, you came to Jesus. Your hope and your plan was the well that you dug spiritually would come down to even your grandchildren. Maybe those grandkids are far from Jesus today. Maybe those kids who came to Sunday school in this church are far from Jesus today. That wasn't the intention. But Jesus is here. He's still giving life. He can still make your children thirsty. He can still make them thirsty. When you're really thirsty, nothing else will satisfy. Psalm 42, like the deer panting for the water brook, so pants my soul after you, O God. While heads are bowed, I wonder how many by an upraised hand would say, I'm the one who's dry. I'm the one who's been trying to satisfy my thirst. But today, I want to come to Jesus, the giver of living water. I'm tired of trying to be satisfied with things that won't satisfy. I want to drink from living water today. I want Jesus to forgive me, to cleanse me, to take all my yesterdays and make my tomorrows full of hope and life. And by an upraised hand, you'd say, pray for me. That's me. Yes, you can put it down. Anyone else? Say, that's me. Yes, you can put it down. Anyone else who would say, Christians, pray, 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 pray. Anyone else who would say, that's me. Yes. I want us all to stand if we would. I don't know how you normally do it, Brother Vic. Yes. When Brother Vic comes, there might be some grandparents, some parents. There might be a spouse. Whatever the reason, there's some that raise their hand, but by you coming here to this altar, you'll be of encouragement. They can blend in. But if you just want to spend some time in prayer, I want to invite you to come. I'm going to ask Pastor Rick to come. You conclude this call.
We show our appreciation. What a beautiful, beautiful message. Thank you so much. Oh, I love that's life. That's my heroes right there.